You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. But it was a pretty good start to the season for the Orioles. 2-1 is better than 1-2 or 0-3. Broadly, what did we learn from the first series?
Well, not a whole lot. I mean, you know how it goes. Three games, people want to try and overanalyze, and really it's such a small fraction of the season. I think they were happy to take 2-3 from Tampa. They wanted to win every game, as Buck said last night, but you know, they played well. They pitched fairly well, and I think that they're pretty satisfied with that. So I don't know if you could start looking and analyzing how guys are doing up and down the lineup. Again, it's such a small sample size. I hate to do it. I think overall they're healthy. They're headed back to Baltimore for the first time since probably, you know, early February or so. So they were excited for that last night, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really one of the things is I think that, you know, one of those old sayings that, you know, they say a team that has a good spring training record is going to have a good AAA team. The other thing you hear is, you know, the way you win spring training is to get through it healthy. And the O's didn't get through it completely healthy, but they're in pretty good shape, aren't they? I mean, the Wieters situation we kind of knew was coming, but basically they're in pretty good shape health-wise, aren't they?
Yeah, I think getting back to JJR will obviously be huge. It just allows them to do a lot more things flexibility-wise if you have a guy as versatile as Ryan Flaherty on the bench instead of playing every day. They'd like to get back to having an extra guy on the bench. Right now they have 13 pitchers, but I think healthy in terms of what could have happened, of course. I think you'll take it any day of the week, and they feel like Wieters isn't too far off, so they're pretty happy with where they are health-wise.
What is the latest with Wieters? That's been kind of an odd situation. Everything was going really well, and then suddenly things weren't going well, but it still seems like nobody's all that concerned. Where is he at right now?
Like, well, he's been throwing for about a week every other day playing catch, so that's certainly a good sign. They feel like they'll continue to kind of back him up. He said intensity-wise, he's throwing at a pretty good intensity. The only difference is they just have to continue to move those distances. So May 1st was a date that had kind of been thrown out there. He said yesterday he's not holding himself to any target date. So I think it'll be after May 1st, but within that month for sure.
What's the plan going to be as far as building him up? Because there really are two different things, and the guy never really got – a full spring training as far as at bats, and then you're dealing with the rehab and the elbow and getting the arm where it needs to be, but there's also this need to get this guy to game speed just as far as facing pitching.
Right. I think probably about 2 weeks is what you would see him doing in terms of getting at bats and rehab and stuff. He didn't play in any games, as you pointed out, just that one, and then was sidelined with tendonitis, but he did do pretty much everything else. He caught a lot of bullpens. He was doing his conditioning. He was still taking, you know, the part in the infield and the relay drills and things like that. So I think about 2 weeks probably once he progresses enough to get into games.
And then what's the status with J.J. Hardy? You mentioned that's another, you know, significant guy they're doing without and another guy that's really kind of hard to cover for even though they do have some pieces there.
Yeah, that should be a lot sooner. They're hoping probably Tuesday or Wednesday to send him out on a rehab assignment. He's dealing with a left shoulder strain. He was shut down for a little while. And, you know, with Hardy, he played most of the spring, so it's different from Wieters. I would think, you know, within that week, he would be eligible to come back and to play for them. And he just adds so much to that infield. They're able to do a lot more things, and it's a big leader for them. So I think they're pretty optimistic and won't be too much longer on him.
You kind of touched on this, but, you know, Buck Showalter does – he does kind of like to have some of those versatile players and like to kind of have some pieces and pull some levers. To what extent, not just Hardy's presence in itself, who's a really valuable guy, but as you noted, shortening that bench and kind of to what extent does that kind of hamstring them, not only not having Hardy, but taking Flaherty out of or Cabrera, whichever guy is playing shortstop, out of that mix of sort of being able to be plugged in a lot of places?
Well, it definitely changes the complexion of what they're able to do. And as I mentioned earlier, the fact that they've got one guy less on the bench than they would like to have ideally, you know, they want to keep Rule 5 pitcher Jason Garcia. So they don't have a whole lot of moves that they can make, and that to me, is probably Buck's MO. So that's something that they're going to try to fix, whether it's trading a reliever so that they can have a more optionable bullpen. Getting back Hardy should help a whole lot there. And they really want to go back to having 12 pitchers. I mean, having 13 pitchers in the American League East certainly isn't ideal. It prevents you from making a lot of late-game moves. Buck said the other night when they put some defensive replacements in, if they were to have an injury, you know, in the ninth inning, they would have been in big trouble. So that's something they're going to look to correct here very soon.
They got back. It was, there's only one game. It's funny. It seems in some ways like forever, and yet it's only been a few days since Chris Davis was playing in competitive games before the end of his suspension. But how did he come out of spring looking as far as his swing, as far as his timing? How does he look, not just these two games, but just kind of as we start building towards the full grind of the regular season?
I think he looks okay. You know, it's kind of anticlimactic because he played all spring. He didn't feel like he was gone for so long, whereas last year he missed the whole postseason. So that was a little unusual. I do think that Buck's probably going to do what he did his first series a lot, which is rotate Steve Pierce and Chris Davis at first base. You might see either one of those guys in right field. But Travis Snyder played so well this series, I don't know how much that changes things. I do think Chris Davis is motivated to kind of get back to where he was. He was hurt last year early on. I think that affected him for a while at the plate, and then, of course, the suspension. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for him, and I think that there's a lot of motivation there also because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So I expect he's going to have a pretty good year. Now, is it going to be 2013? No. But I don't think it's as bad as last year. I think the real Chris Davis is somewhere in the middle.
You mentioned Travis Snyder. I think he's a really interesting guy. He's only 27. He's been around forever. It seems like he should be older than 27, but he's only 27. He's a guy who has shown a lot of different skills, an ability to take a walk, an ability to hit the ball out of the park, shown a little bit of a defensive ability, though he's not a gold glover, but he's certainly shown some ability to at least handle himself. And with the history that Dan Duquette has of those fines, those non-obvious fines, do you think I guess what I'm asking is there some thought in the organization that they may have a real gem on their hands here, a guy who maybe is more than he's shown at times through the first part of his big league career?
Sure. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why they got him. You always hope that when you acquire guys who have had some success and also some struggles that they could turn it around in this new organization. And I think he obviously had a really good opening series, but it's way too early to be saying, you know, Travis Snyder is going to be a guy that they can rely on all year. I mean, he's not going to keep up the pace that he had from these first three games. You know, it's impossible. But I do think when you look at his numbers, and I think Nick Markakis' numbers, who he's essentially replaced in right field, they're very similar players. They had very similar stat lines last year. Travis Snyder is younger, doesn't have the health concerns they have with Markakis. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, it was definitely a solid move. He seems to have fit in with this team, with this clubhouse. And it seems like the light has gone on for him because, honestly, he looked horrible, I thought, for most of spring training. The last week or two, he seemed to kind of have stepped it up. And Buck mentioned the same thing the other day, that he thought the last week or two, Snyder finally came into his own. Because early on, he was not impressive. And, you know, myself and a bunch of the members of the media were kind of wondering what was going to be the deal with this guy.
And one other guy that I kind of want to use a couple of games as a jumping-off point, not suggesting that he's going to average 2.5 strikeouts an inning and not walk anybody all year, but looking at Zach Britton, he's a guy who the last couple years has, you know, I think quite a few things gone right, but one of the things that really stands out, you look at his line, is he really cut the walks back, particularly last year, from 2012 to 2014. He cut his walk rate almost in half. To really be an elite guy, I think you need to cut it even a little more to be an elite ninth-inning guy. Do you think he has that in him? Do you see the indications that maybe there's one more step forward in control for him to where he can go from a guy with pretty good control to a guy with the kind of control that you need to really be an elite late-inning guy?
I do. You know, he's really, as you mentioned, stepped it up in terms of his stuff. And you just talk to guys who have faced him in the past, and you know, even talking to some of the Rays, he's a completely different pitcher than he was in 2012. You know, what he's able to do, the movement he gets, the swings the opposing hitters take, he's completely overpowering. And he did it all spring. And, you know, Buck asked us to not write it, but fuck that he never had had a closer who was as dominant as Zach Britton was in spring training. And of course, the worry there was that he was going to have this phenomenal spring training and come into the season and look awful. And you saw in Tampa that that's just not the case. I mean, the guy just has a ridiculous amount of movement on that fastball, and he lives off of it. He barely needs to throw anything else. So I think as he adapts, last season was his first season as a closer. He wasn't even the closer of the Orioles a year ago. It was a job that he took over when they moved Tommy Hunter out of it in May. So I think he's still got a huge, huge ceiling here to really be, as you mentioned, among the elite closers.
All right. Well, Brittany Tiroli, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.